Well, this week, you know, you just never know when the Lord is going to show you something right out of the blue. Somebody might say, suddenly. He's been stirring my heart up on binding and loosing. Now, you've heard me say, if you've been around here for a while, that we need to understand and have discernment, literally, so that we're not wasting our time and our breath binding things that God has allowed to come into our life. So we need discernment in this. But with that discernment, there are definite times that we need to be binding things and casting them out of our lives. And we also need to be speaking things that loose things of God into our lives. Okay? So we're going to start a mini-series today on binding and loosing. And we'll start there in Matthew 12, verses 25 through 29. You know, there are so many people, myself included, that have been going through a lot of different things. This stuff that's going on with my health, this has been going on too long. I don't care what anybody says. This has been going on too long. And I'm going to learn something through this, but I'm going to come out the other side.
That's right.
You can take that to the bank.
Right.
I'm going to come out the other side of this. All right? And I think maybe together, as we walk through the things we go through, we're gonna learn some things too. But we're gonna dig into this binding and loosing and learn something together. And not only learn it, but the goal here is to begin to practice it. Okay? Matthew 12, 25 through 29. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? If I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instructing power of your Spirit. And we welcome your Spirit to lead us into all truth. And as we look into the absolute truth that is your word, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us understanding, open hearts and minds that are fertile and receptive to your word today. Lord, may this mini-series make in us a strong, devil-wrecking force.
Yes.
That would take what we are supposed to possess in this world, Father God. Yes. That through the power of your Spirit, we will possess all that we are supposed to. Yes. Your word tells us that it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, we stand up against that with a mighty roar as a body of believers. And we pray in Jesus' name that as the instruction comes from your word, by the power of your Spirit, that we will never ever be the same. That we will be healthy, we will be delivered, we will be strong people in the power of your might. Always giving you all the glory, honor, and praise for all that you do through us, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for restoration of good health, for deliverance from sicknesses that have plagued for weeks and months. And Lord, we believe we can be healthy in the name of Jesus. Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I only speak the words I've ordained to speak this morning, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus refers to the activity of binding and loosing as a serious responsibility for us as believers to understand and practice. The God-inspired words that we speak while ministering are backed up by all of heaven. We need to learn the principles surrounding binding and loosing and the power these words hold as we pray and minister to others. The prayer of faith is used to heal those that are sick or oppressed. In this message, we will cover the fundamental truths in the book of James that cause healing to manifest in those for whom we pray. Are you ready? I want to cover a couple of definitions first and foremost. First one is the definition of binding. The Greek is deho. Deho. D-E-H-O. It's a primary verb meaning to bind, be in bonds, knit, tie up, or wind. I'll repeat that. Deho, primary verb, meaning to bind, be in bonds, to knit, to tie up, or to wind. So when we are binding something, this is what we are speaking forth. This is what we are speaking into being. I like the knitting, tying up, to wind. When you take something, you wind it. Next word is loosing. Luo. Luo in the Greek. L-U-O. It's a primary verb meaning to loosen, break, destroy, dissolve, to unloose. Till I looked this up, I did not have the understanding that when I was speaking, loosening things to things, it also has to do with the breaking or destroying or dissolving. I did not have that understanding before I specifically looked this up. I'm being honest with you. It has opened my eyes to more of what binding and loosing, when we do it according to God's will, is really accomplishing. In Luke 11, verses 21 and 22, it says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and power and it overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. Did you hear that? It's right from the Word of God. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house. Are you a strong man or are you a weak man? Now what determines that? If we are a strong man, we are in Christ and we are covered with the armor of God. Okay? It's the armor of God that makes us a strong man. This is not in any way referring to physical strength. This is referring to spiritual strength. Okay? So, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. Okay, so we have the armor on. What are the weapons of our warfare? See, we need armor to protect us, but we also have to have an offense. And that offense, are you ready? Is the name of Jesus, first and foremost. Second part, the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood, remember? What's the third one? We've covered this. You've been around here a while?
Name of Jesus.
Pardon me? Yes. Name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. And the Word of God. And Jesus, of course, is the living Word, right? Those are the weapons of our warfare. When Jesus was approached in the wilderness after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, you and I can't imagine how tired he was, how wiped out after 40 days and nights of fasting. Isn't it something that the enemy chose that time to come attack him? When he was weakened, okay? But my point is this. Jesus responded to the attacks of the enemy using his own word against him. Jesus responded with the Word of God. We need to understand that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And in that process, he will use the Word of God askew. He'll twist it. Just like he did when he attacked Jesus. Isn't it something? Satan had the audacity to try to use God's own word against Jesus. That should tell us how bold and how deceived Satan really is. It didn't work well for him. Jesus responded with the true Word of God. So Satan was foiled. But then after that, never forget, it says that Satan left him until a more opportune time. He was coming back. I think the next major attack, I don't know what you think about that, but I personally think the next major attack was when Christ was praying and sweating drops of blood right before he was taken to be crucified. I think Satan was working on him. I have no proof of that, but that's what I think. So binding and loosing. First major point on binding and loosing. We loose people who are bound by spirits. We loose people who are bound by spirits. Guys, we should pay more attention to how much deliverance Jesus did in his ministry while he was here. He did more deliverance than he did healing.
Yeah.
Albeit that some of the deliverances led to healing. That's still the same today. When I was delivered, when I got saved, I was healed of the issues I had back then. You've been around here for years, you've heard those stories. I'm not going to go through all that again. The above scriptures clearly indicate that we will encounter people who are bound by a spiritual entity of some kind. Jesus has cleared the way for us to loose these people. Prayer through our authority in Jesus Christ will loose people from those things that were binding them. Some examples of things that we run into today. All the different addictions that you can have. There's drug addiction. There's alcohol addiction. There's sexual addiction. I think with all the coffee shops there are around the drive-thru, I think there's coffee addiction. But that's me. There's food addiction. I might be close when it comes to crime. There are all kinds of addictions, guys. And those addictions cause problems. I've prayed with many people to break the power of Satan through addictions in their lives over the years since I got saved. I've prayed with countless people. People have been set free from that. Always binding the enemy and then casting him out in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus and pleading Jesus' blood over them. Jesus uses the term strong man to indicate our adversity, our adversary. The devil, in many passages of Scripture, his strong nature is revealed as forceful, boisterous, mighty, powerful, and strong at times. However, Jesus has given his followers the authority to not only resist him, but to trample on and decimate Satan's kingdom. If we are truly born again believers in Jesus Christ, and especially if we are also baptized with the Holy Spirit, we have authority over demonic forces. Now, Satan is always trying to freak us out or make us believe that we don't really have power over that. But we do, if we are in a right relationship with God, have power over all the dominion of Satan. No question about it. We have that God-given authority. The problem is, most people that profess to be Christian have never asserted that authority in all their time because we're too much, it's about all about me. Yeah. Joyce Meyer always cracks me up with her "what about me" robot thing, you know. I'm not going to try to do that right now. I have before. But it's because of our self-centeredness and selfishness that we don't assert the authority that we have, because if everything's good with me, it's all fine. And all the people around us might be suffering, but I'm good, so I'm just going to leave that alone. I don't need to bring none of that into my life. I don't need to expose myself to that. Somebody know what I'm talking about? It's time Christians, professing Christians, start getting about the Father's business. It's time we get busy. It's time we pitter-patter, let's get at her. In 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, Word of God says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So, we understand that everybody in the whole world is going through the same kind of suffering. Okay, we understand that. But have we had enough of it? When have we had enough? When do we say, you know what? No more. Lord, if I don't detect in my discerning spirit that this has been allowed by you and I just need to, this is something I need to walk through, then by golly, I'm going to rise up. I'm going to bind this thing in the name of Jesus. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus over these people and over myself. And we're going to walk in the freedom that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to bring us back. See, either the whole of the Word of God is true, or we might as well throw the whole thing away. It's either all true or none of it is. But we piecemeal it. Well, I can believe this, but this is awful hard to believe. We do. We might not admit it, but we do. Well, I'll just skip that one over. I'll just skip over that, because that makes me uncomfortable. Listen, I know how it is. I told God when I got saved, I would go anywhere He called me to go, and I would do anything that He calls me to do. Except please don't ask me to go to Africa. Well, after I've been in five nations in Africa and ministered, God's got a great sense of humor. He's like, I get to see. Oh yeah? Watch this. So our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And what's he doing? He's looking for someone to devour. It might be you. It might be me. When the attack comes. But are we going to stand up for each other? Are we going to stand up together and present a united front against the enemy? It scares the wits out of the devil when a body of believers truly gets united and start praying for each other and praying the prayer of faith, binding the works of the enemy. Loosing God's angels onto the scene to wage war. gifts, speaking those things into being. Not making more of angels than it should be. How many of you remember back in the 90s when people got all whacked out on angels? How many of you remember that? People got way out of balance on that deal. But angels definitely have their position and their importance. Prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9 says, resist him. Resist him. How many of you know where 99% of the battle is at? Right here. So in other words, in resisting him, we cast down those thoughts that are planted here that do not align with the Word of God or oppose the Word of God, literally. We cast those thoughts down in the mighty name of Jesus. Bind those thoughts. Cast them out. Cast them down. Don't give them a place. Don't think about that anymore. But think on those things that come from the Word of God. When you have word curses spoken over you, sometimes we don't even realize how many word curses we've had spoken over us. But I got a revelation. My own father spoke word curses over me. He didn't know no better. Told me over and over, you'll never amount to anything. I rose up to that for quite a few years. But you know what? I got a Bible. And I started reading the Word of God. And I found Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I got a hold of that. And whenever Satan would come back and tell me, remind me of those word curses, I began to say, you got it wrong. I can do all things, not in my own strength, but through Christ which strengthens me. So whatever he calls me to do, and wherever he calls me to go, I'm going because he's going with me. Amen?
Amen?
So many people forget about the whole idea of resisting him and only focus on standing firm in the faith. We've got to do both. Resist him and stand. Standing in the faith. Second major point. You have more power at your disposal than you will ever need. You have more power at your disposal than you will ever need in this life. But we don't wield it. It's time we start. It's time we start to utilize the power that God has given us through the victory that Christ Jesus brought when he rose from the tomb. It's time we start acting on it. gave the believers absolute power over Satan and all his minions. We have absolute power over them. But we don't utilize it. My mom and dad's generation, Satan delivered them a blow by telling them that you shouldn't get too excited about religious things. When I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I went and talked to my mom, man. By the time I got done blowing her hair back, her glasses were on crooked and everything. She didn't know what to do. Oh my God, my son's a holy roller. But I went and shared. God put on my heart to go to her and share everything that happened to me. And she freaked out. And she meant well. She wasn't saved yet. She was not born again yet. She knew about God, but she didn't know Him.
Yes.
So I'm not picking on her. She just didn't know any better. She was ignorant to spiritual things. She said, "Oh, you're not going to go to one of them churches where they roll around in the aisles, are you?" I said, "I don't even know where one of them churches is. It's a fallacy." Fast forward 16 years, and my mom started attending the church I was pastoring in Comanche. My wife was picking her up. And she got saved one morning in an altar call at that church. In your face, Satan. When believers finally realize that they have absolute power over all demonic forces of the unseen world, they become fearless and aggressive in ministry. Fearless and aggressive. That's what I want from every one of you. Fearless and aggressive. Fearless and aggressive. See, we're not supposed to be passive believers. We are supposed to engage in the spiritual battle. I'm not talking about going home and loading all your guns. I'm not talking about that. Not that there's not a time for war. We see that in the Bible. There is a time for war. But it's always time for spiritual war. And we need to realize it, accept it, and get involved. Luke 10, verses 17 through 20. Luke 10, 17 through 20. Getting to read in verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There's a lot there. He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. There it is. We've got more power at our disposal than we're ever going to need. But we don't use it. Satan raises up his ugly head in any given situation, and things we were excited about, we get scared about, and back off and quit. All too often. And that's what Satan wants. He says, nothing will harm you. Find it very interesting in verse 20. It says, however, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. He says, hey, don't. Jesus said, don't get all focused on that. In other words, don't get all puffed up. Don't get all puffed up about that. Because it's not about you, it's about him. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That tells me stay humble. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Stay humble. Because you know why your name is written there. It's by grace through faith. Not by works that any man should boast. However, last week we talked about that works have some importance, right? Because they show on the outside what's happening on the inside. It's called fruit. We covered that last week. Matthew 16 verse 19 and Matthew 18 verse 18 use the terms bind and loose. However, the context refers to forbidding or permitting certain behavior in the body of Christ and instituting church discipline. Okay? Matthew 16, verse 19. Jesus says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do you see the authority? Remember, the context refers to forbidding or permitting certain behavior in the body of Christ. There are things that are not going to be acceptable in the church, in this church. And if people persist in that behavior, eventually they are talked to and they're not here no more. And there's no apology for that. Why? Because we have to protect the body of Christ. The body of Christ must be protected. And there are wolves that come in sheep's clothing. Over these first 23 years, we've had some of those battles. There have been groups that have left. There have been individuals that have left. There have been families that have left because of these kinds of situations. Okay? Matthew 18:18 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Says the same thing. Matthew says the same thing twice. Let me tell you something. That's just like an exclamation point. In the original language, there was no punctuation. There's no punctuation in the original language. Okay? The way things would be punctuated is it would be repeated several times. So whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Some argue, there's argument about this. I don't believe it's talking about heaven as in where the throne of our God resides. It's talking about the arid places. We've talked about this before, but it's been a while. So I want to clarify. This is talking about the heavenlies as in the arid places. The arid places are where the spiritual battles take place. If you remember Gehazi freaking out because they were encroached upon by a great army. And he was told, oh, quit freaking out. Lord, open his eyes. Right? This is a Wayneism, of course. This is the Wayne translation. And God, through that simple prayer, opened Gehazi's eyes. And he saw into the arid places. Into where the spirit realm is. And he saw God's great army. Not only the army, the great army that he saw in the physical, but he saw God's great army in the arid places. And was like, oh, wow. Wow, dude, you're freaking me out. When we're not seeing into the arid places, we're not seeing the whole picture. We many times think we have an impenetrable force against us, and little do we know, if we could see into the arid places, God's got our back. His glory, it says, is our rear guard. When we've got the armor on that protects our whole front, then God's glory is our rear guard. That comforts me. He could take over the front too if he wanted. I mean, I'd be all good with that. But I really like that his glory is my rear guard. Nobody sneaking up on me. Nobody named Lucifer. All right, we're out of time. We're going to quit there, and we will pick up next week, Lord willing, where we left off. Are you getting something out of this?
Yes.
Are you feeling something in your spirit that is starting to build? That's what I want to see. That's That's what I want to hear. Let's stand together, guys. Father, I just reach out my hands merely as your representative, and I speak wholeness and well-being. We bind the works of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. We cancel every demonic assignment of sickness that has been assigned to lives that are standing here right now. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we loose, we call forth your guardian angels to surround us and to help us and to lead us into all truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we welcome your Spirit to walk with us as we leave this place and as we walk out this faith that we profess for the rest of the week. Bring us back safely next weekend, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. We love you.